You're with us on The Morning Show as we talk about the practice of ambulance diversion in cities. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Directing an ambulance to another hospital is meant to ease congestion in overcrowded ERs. Most of our country's biggest cities allow this practice. Milwaukee County has tried to stop it. But is ambulance diversion putting lives at stake? And is it sidestepping the root cause of a hospital's overcapacity? Have you wondered if it's going on in your community? Questions we'll explore with you at 800-642-1234. John Dietrich is an investigative reporter and assistant editor at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel watchdog team. His article about ambulance diversion is called "Hospital Policy That Sometimes Has Horrifying Results Still Allowed in Most Large Cities." John, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me.
Well, can you first explain how ambulance diversion works? What is it?
Well, as you alluded to at the beginning, this is a practice that was intended to relieve overcrowding in hospitals. It's been going on for decades. The public is, as I found, largely unaware of the practice. But it was meant to be a drastic measure where ambulances would be turned away for a short period of time from hospitals that could not safely care for those patients. And it's become much more routine over time. And to the point that some places, and this was the case when I wrote about Milwaukee County, the case that I wrote about, where hospitals sometimes are on diversion for large chunks of the day. In that case, Frederick was on diversion for 17 hours that day. And you also talked about the studies and the research on this issue. It's been studied for quite a while. And the challenge that comes up here is that it is not effective long-term in solving the overcrowding. It's really a reactionary practice. And we've seen in this case and others where it raises questions about the risk to patients who are being diverted to other places.
Right. Doesn't sending an ambulance to another emergency room just shift the same problem of overcrowding to a different location?
Oh, exactly right. As the experts I've spoken to pointed out, they said, well, first of all, it's important to understand, and I didn't know this before I started reporting, that the majority of people who come to an emergency room are not coming via ambulance. It's only, you know, 15, maybe as high as 30%, but the majority are coming are driven up. So it's really not shutting off all the flow, not by a long shot, of what's coming into the hospital. But they are acute cases that are coming in. And those cases, that's exactly right, go to other places. And that cascading effect can have closures for nearby hospitals as well. We saw that in Milwaukee County, and we've seen that in places around the country where this continues to be a problem. And then what happens is those places get, you know, closed, and pretty soon you have few options for the paramedics to take patients to locations. And sometimes then they'll be forced to open up, and then the whole process sort of starts over. So it just it shows that there is a underlying problem, as you alluded to, and diversion does not solve it.
How much communication is going on between the hospitals? Do they coordinate diversion times with each other as a way of triaging?
Well, that is the idea, so that hospitals know when another one goes on diversion. And this is really important in cases like what happened in the Las Vegas mass shooting, or incidents like 911 and terrorist attacks, things of that nature, where there has to be a coordinated response, if you will, from the hospitals. But that's in times of, you know, sort of urgent needs. In sort of regular times, what happens is hospitals are sort of letting each other know, okay, we're going on diversion. And sometimes hospitals will close, not even if they're busy, but just in anticipation of hospital A going on diversion. They themselves will go on diversion. And it's also important to point out there really is no one system or one way that this is controlled. Every system around the country is really a organized in a somewhat different way. So there's no sort of higher oversight in many places that control when hospitals go on diversion.
We're talking with Milwaukee Journal Sentinel investigative reporter and assistant editor John Dietrich about the practice of ambulance diversions in America's big cities. Gathering your thoughts there, welcome at 800-642-1234. Do you think the practice of ambulance diversion should be banned in Wisconsin, or are hospitals just trying to do their best to deal with the problem of overcrowding? Join in the conversation question at 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. John, tell us about Tiffany Tate and how that situation with her proved deadly.
So Tiffany Tate was a 37-year-old mother of two. She had an 8-month-old and a 15-year-old daughter at home, Milwaukee woman, who worked at the medical college in the food service there on the grounds of the medical complex in Milwaukee County. And it's important to note this is very close to Frederick's emergency department. In August of 2014, she began feeling ill. It became apparent very quickly that she was having a stroke. An ambulance was called from Wauwatosa Fire Department. They responded and loaded her up, but they could not take her next door, 350 yards away, to Frederick's emergency room, emergency department, which is the portal, if you will, to the best stroke care in the city at the time, because Frederick was on diversion. So the paramedics drove her literally, as the commander said in an interview, right past the driveway to Frederick, and went to West Dallas Memorial, which it offered a lesser level of stroke care, really more of a triage level. The case proved to be too much for West Dallas Memorial, and she was loaded up yet again and moved to St. Luke's, which was just opening up an advanced stroke center themselves at the time, had been certified, and which is the level of care that she would have gotten at Frederick, but it was 4 hours, roughly 3.5 to 4 hours after that. And by that point, she had passed into, she lost consciousness, and ultimately she died some months later from complications from the stroke.
And certainly we know that with strokes, time is absolutely crucial in order to treat the stroke.
That's right. And the experts were agreed, just to be clear, that we won't ever know if she would have survived, but certainly her chances would have been better.
How common is this practice across the country of ambulance diversion?
Well, it's an interesting picture. So some places, as you alluded, have ended it. Milwaukee County, actually in the midst of the Tiffany Tate case, was in the process of ending it voluntarily. Other places have ended it by law, the state of Massachusetts. But as our investigation found, the majority of large cities in the country, 9 out of the top 10, 2/3 of the top 25 metro areas in the country, continue to allow it. And in some of those places, it's been a problem. I spoke to the EMS director for Los Angeles County, and it continues to be a problem right there. The hospitals there are averaging 4 to sometimes as much as 6 hours a day, depending on the day, where their hospitals are on diversion. And then around some of the places, it's interesting that they have ended diversion in some of the surrounding areas around Los Angeles County, but they haven't made changes. And so it's just led to a very dramatic problem in the Los Angeles area, according to the director. But this is common in areas around the country where the solutions to the overcrowding issue have not been addressed in hospitals.
We're talking about the practice of ambulance diversion in America's big cities with Milwaukee Journal Sentinel investigative reporter John Dietrich as our guide. His piece on ambulance diversion was published last month. What do you think of this practice? Is it going on in your city? Join in at 800-642-1234. Have you worked at a hospital for a long time? Have you noticed an influx of patients in the ER? What do you think accounts for this? How has your hospital dealt with it? Call in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We'll get back to the conversation in a minute on the Ideas Network. Looking at the consequences when hospitals divert ambulances away from their emergency rooms and the root causes of it. You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Wisconsin Department of Health tracks some diversions through its WeTrack system. Generally, ER diversions are something hospitals try to avoid. Milwaukee County started a no diversion policy in 2016. Have you or a loved one experienced ambulance diversion? Tell us your story. Are you a paramedic or other healthcare provider who has insights or experience in dealing with this? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel investigative reporter John Dietrich stays with us. John, take us to Milwaukee and how the city has taken steps to deal with ambulance diversion. I've mentioned there in 2016, there was this ban on the practice. What do we know from that ban and where did it go?
Well, it's interesting you point out, so Milwaukee County was one of those places that was really having a hard time with this process, with this practice of diversion. To put this in perspective, the last 6 months that it was allowed, the 12 hospitals in Milwaukee County were on diversion 4,000 hours.
4,000 hours?
4,000 hours during a six-month period, yeah. And the comparative period, the 6 months the next year, they were on a diversion for 13 hours total for the same period of time. So it was a very drastic change in those two periods, in those study periods, and this is being monitored by Milwaukee County's EMS. What they did was not add any beds, and this has been the playbook in other places as well. They're not adding capacity. What they're doing is getting a lot more efficient in how operations work inside of a hospital. So, for instance, hospitals were created at a time where weekends were not as heavily staffed or utilized, where processes by which patients move through sometimes were slow. People who've been in hospitals know that this can happen. Admissions process, as patients are moved around the hospital, as rooms are cleaned, as discharges happen, all those are choke points along the way. And those were all studied in Milwaukee County, and ways were found that this could be sped up. As it was explained to me, they said really diversion is not a front door problem, it's a back door problem. And so usually the choke points are not actually in the emergency department itself. They can handle the flow of people often coming through. It's the inpatient beds behind there, the intensive care beds, things of that nature, and just simple things like when patients are transported through the hospital, when house cleaning announces that a room has been cleaned and ready to be reoccupied and discharges. All those processes are really important to moving patients through. And again, when those processes are improved and fixed, you see the patient flow work much better. That's not to say, and I do hear from practitioners, that hospitals are very busy, that emergency departments are being utilized for primary care ailments that maybe have been neglected and become acute or just are not that serious, but they still come to the ED. But Milwaukee County reports no adverse events in those 2.5 years or so that diversion has ended. Paramedic time is about the same, so they're not getting hung up anymore. They report a number of positive outcomes, and patients are getting to go to the closest best hospital and the hospital of their choice.
Sounds like there's a lot of self-policing here, working within the system, looking within to fix it from within. Is that enforceable, or do you need a state law to enforce it?
Well, in the state of Massachusetts, they asked and asked and didn't get anywhere, and so then they passed a law, which was 10 years ago, and that's the one state so far that has banned it. But in Milwaukee County, there are, as it was explained to me from the county, there are sanctions available to them through licensing and hospital sanctions, that there's peer-reviewed processes, so it does start to be a self-policing process, but it can become more adversarial if a hospital is defiant. Seattle had some problems, and their local government stepped up and started talking to hospitals and, you know, had a conversation with them to say, you need to dial back your diversions, because they too, like Milwaukee, had voluntarily ended diversions some years ago. So there are processes by which hospitals can be held to account. But for the most part, what I'm seeing around the country is voluntary processes by which hospitals are doing this. But you raise an important point. If ultimately one hospital starts saying, you know, we're going to divert, and other hospitals are saying, well, you know, then we're going to, in the process, you know, what are the sanctions behind it? And to date, Massachusetts is the only one with a law against it.
So far, we've been talking about large cities, Los Angeles, Seattle. We've been talking about Milwaukee County. What do we know about ambulance diversion in our smaller communities, in our smaller cities?
Well, it's a problem if you have just one hospital in an area. And I think people sort of expect that there's just going to be longer travel times to hospitals that are, you know, more remote or more rural areas of the country. But it becomes a problem when a hospital, which is maybe your only emergency option in an area, goes on diversion for a variety of reasons. And again, overcrowding sometimes is part of this. Sometimes the hospital itself may not have adequate staffing, things of that nature. And that can add a lot of time. You know, some of these diversions, you know, might be a matter of an extra 20 minutes, things of that nature. But if you're talking about a matter of hours, it's very important that those hospitals remain an option. And, you know, and that their federal funding is really based on being open and available for emergency care. So it's important in those places. They simply can't go on diversion, but some of them have, as we've looked at the data, and it becomes a problem for people.
Talking with John Dietrich, he is an investigative reporter and assistant editor at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Watchdog team. You can join in about ambulance diversion at 800-642-1234. Stephen sent us an email saying that as a former volunteer, he's seen ERs clogged with walk-ins that should have gone to urgent care or made an appointment with their physician. John, is this a real issue here? How has that affected ambulance diversions, in if at all?
Well, that's a very good point, and I've heard that from folks that so this was a reaction. Diversion was a reaction to the increasing utilization of EDs by walk-ins, of people, again, who are suffering from problems which either they were, you know, became more serious, or just were not that serious, but they came to the ED. And we've seen the volume of patients in hospitals drop as the number of hospitals as the number of hospitals have dropped. So we're seeing inverse relationship going on there. We're also seeing a lot of psychiatric patients ending up at EDs. So all these things are leading to a crush, no doubt, in EDs. And I think for the folks who are dealing with that, and I've heard from a number of people who said, well, you know, either we divert or we bring patients into emergency, dangerous emergency rooms that are overcrowded, and that's a problem. As the experts I've spoken to have really characterize it, that is a false dichotomy, that there's a third option, which is reform your hospital, which doesn't happen on a Saturday night, you know, in the midst of this crowding. It takes months and even years to reform your flows and your process, and requires constant monitoring. But he's exactly right. The process by which the clogging happens is real. The other thing that is a problem is things like elective surgeries that happen on Mondays and Tuesdays. They tend to happen on those days because surgeons prefer to operate on those days. Those are also cases that the hospital would rather not reschedule because they tend to bring in the most money as private pay. So by Monday and Tuesday, those surgeries being scheduled, they discharge later in the week if the healing happens as scheduled. So that creates a choke point. So there's different things that can be done, but I have heard from a number of people who've said, you know, we're just slammed on a Saturday night, and they're at the ground level. What they're not seeing is that process can be improved through some measured study of their processes.
John, is there anything that someone can do on the individual level, or is this really at the mercy of a city or of its hospital systems?
Well, one thing I would always point out, and I've been asked this question, is it is true that if you go to the emergency room and you're not in an ambulance, the emergency room has to take you, has to assess you under federal law. Now, the problem with that message could be construed as, if you have a medical emergency, hop in the back of a car. And that is not the message that we want people to have, is that 911 for a medical emergency is your best option. That said, once you get in, or a loved one, if you're not able to communicate that, if you feel strongly about going to a particular hospital, then those wishes should be conveyed to the paramedic, and they should comply with those wishes if that's where you wish to go, because for various reasons. Now, the paramedic may overrule that decision or that request based on their assessment of your medical condition, or they may also contact the emergency room and say, you know, what's your status? And if they say, hey, we're super busy, it's going to be a time. But once you get there, paramedics can push through diversions and go anyway. And at that point, then the emergency room can triage and help get the patient where they need to go.
John, thanks for joining us.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
John Dietrich is an investigative reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. His article about ambulance diversion is called "Hospital Policy That Sometimes Has Horrifying Results Still Allowed in Most Large Cities." Coming up, we talk food allergies. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.